A reading from the Gospel according to Matthew. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of King Herod, behold, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, "Where is the newborn King of the Jews? We saw his star at its rising and have come to do him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was greatly troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Assembling all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they said to him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it has been written through the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, since from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod called the Magi secretly and ascertained from them the time of the star's appearance. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may go and do him homage." After their audience with the king, they set out, and behold, the star that they had seen at its rising preceded them until it came and stopped over the place where the child was. They were overjoyed at seeing the star, and on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They prostrated themselves and did him homage, and they opened their treasures and offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed for their country by another way. I was sitting the other day at Starbucks because, you know, having decided that the 12 days of Christmas hadn't already provided enough sugar for my system, I needed just a little more mingled with caffeine. And I was trying to put a few notes down on paper regarding how I might reflect on today's scripture readings with you, when a bird came up and began to peck near my toe, where apparently I had let a cookie crumb fall. It might help if I mention to you that I live in Miami, so it's not like this was all that rare of an event. I merely gave it a glance, and I thought, "Huh, look at you, cute little bird. What an interesting pattern you have on your back." And for a moment, I was tempted to just stare at it. But then the sugary caffeinated part of my brain came alive and reminded me that I had very limited time left to prepare this sermon of sorts, and it needed to be done now, and the bird could be looked at later. And I turned back to my computer screen. I tried to refocus and almost had succeeded when from deep within, a little tiny voice asked, "And when would that be?" "When would what be?" I snapped back. "When will you be paying attention to the bird?" I don't know what to call that tiny voice. I know it lives within me, but it's not quite me. In the context of today's feast, let's give it a name. Let's call it Magi voice. Now, clearly, many, many people around the world had attended to this voice before our Jewish ancestors ever came to associate with Magi, but we can get clues into this voice by digging into the places where Magi are mentioned in Scripture. One of the first Magus, sometimes translated magician, mentioned in the Bible, was an old seer named Balaam from Mesopotamia, now what we would know as Iraq or Iran, who was seen as having special powers and was called upon by his king to put a curse on Moses and the Israelites who were trying to cross his territory to enter that promised land. But instead, Balaam offered what's regarded as one of the oldest prophecies, that a star would come forth from Moses' people. Much later in Scripture, in the book of Acts, a Magi named Simon from Samaria, who was able to work miracles, converted to Christianity and tried to use his riches to purchase from Peter the magic of being able to call down the power of the Holy Spirit, because he sees there's no power superior to God's Spirit. But of course, the most famous Magi are the ones we encounter in today's gospel from Matthew. Seers from the east, again, possibly Iraq, Iran, the Arabian region, who spot a star rising in a sky chock full of stars and recognize that it's a sign. that a great ruler's been born, and set off to see it for themselves. What links these stories of the Magi and the Bible together? First, they are not us. They are not the ones that Scripture names as the chosen people, the people who've received the gift of revelation in the Word. They don't have the Torah. They don't have the prophets. They are outsiders. And yet, clearly, God is so alive in their lives. Not in the Word, but in the world. These are people who are close, close observers of nature. And if the Magi can do amazing deeds and have knowledge that eludes others, it's because they are seers in the truest sense. They are people who spend a great deal of time seeing. And their seeing raises questions that makes them always more open to seeing more, a willingness to journey wherever is needed to discover more. God is alive in their lives, not by way of answers, but by way of questions. In today's gospel, a particularly interesting exchange happens in Herod's palace. Those with the questions, but without answers, end up in Jerusalem. They're questions that can only take them so far. And what they need now is the word of God to direct them for that last leg of their journey. And the people in Jerusalem have that. They have the words, the prophets pointing them to Bethlehem. They have the answers that the Magi seek. But what Herod and the people of Jerusalem do not have is questions. Sure, Jesus is the answer, but to what? They've lost any willingness to go looking. Note how Herod won't even leave his palace to make the 5-mile trek to Bethlehem to see what the Magi have traveled for over 1,000 miles to lay eyes on. You go and diligently search, he says, and then come back and let me know when you found it. It's a scenario that has since repeated itself 1,000 times, 1,000,000 times throughout history. Those who seek shall find, but those who have found sit busily engaged in other things, like using nature rather than reverencing it, conquering the world rather than seeing it. And it's a scenario that's still happening in our own time, in our own day, perhaps even in our own lives, while birds continue to peck at our toes. So in this new year, how can we honor and tend this tiny Magi voice that is within us but not us? How can we nurture that voice so that it becomes more robust in our lives and in our world? 3 quick concrete ideas. 1. Spend time every week, if not every day, watching and walking. Pause to pay attention to the patterns on the backs of birds, to the direction the wind is moving, to the time the moon rises in the evening, to the intricacies of frost on a window. Go the extra 100 steps if you see something curious. Go all the way to Bethlehem if you suspect something interesting is happening over there. 2. Read Laudato Si, Pope Francis's encyclical on creation, in which he talks about a renewed reverence for the natural world as a non-negotiable part of being a person of faith in our time. He describes ways that spending more time with creation serves our spiritual growth. And although he doesn't use these words exactly, he notes how inattentiveness to the Magi voice in our own lives is having profound consequences for our planet. The encyclical's free online. Just type Laudato Si and you can read a little bit each day in this season of Epiphany, a season that's meant to open our eyes with wonder. And 3, hang out with modern-day Magi, specifically with scientists, with artists, and with children. Scientist and artist being those whose professions have long honored observation and curiosity of the world in very disciplined ways. And little children being those who come by Magiism naturally, those who are stopping and staring at things all the time, asking questions all the time, ready to move all the time, who never let efficiency and productivity get in the way of their curiosity. Take a walk with a 3-year-old and you'll understand a little better why it took the Magi up to 2 years to reach their destination. When the Magi did reach their destination, Matthew's gospel says they opened and shared their treasures. And it names them as gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But I suspect that these are but one piece of the real treasures the Magi offered in biblical times and continue to offer up to today. The witness of an attentive, questioning, seeking spirit open to the most subtle of signs that God is acting in the world.